My name is Daniel Scher. I'm the Associate Director of the Innovations for Successful Societies project, and I'm here with Mr. Leonard Rugobiza, the DG of National Development Planning and Research at MINICOFIN.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for taking time out of your day to meet with me. I really appreciate it because I know you have many other things on the go. As I mentioned before, I'm quite interested in learning more about MINICOFIN's role with the MIHIGO process. But before we talk about that, I wonder if you'd mind just introducing yourself and telling me a little bit about the positions you've held prior to this one here.
Position I held prior to this one, before joining actually the government, I was with the African Development Bank as an economist, and I joined the government 6 months ago. But before that, I was actually in the government. So I did 2 years in the African Development Bank, but before the 2 years, I was in Ministry of Finance again, actually working in this specific department, the planning, strategic planning unit. So I just came back home.
Okay. So 2007. So you were here prior to 2007.
Yes.
And how long were you?
I've been here from 2000.
Actually. From 2000 to 2007.
Yeah. To 2007, I left for African Development Bank and came back last year in November.
Okay. Okay. So you were here for all of the decentralization process and all of that. So you really had first-hand knowledge of a lot of these processes.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. So I wonder if you could just tell me a little bit about your specific role here in this office and what its goals are, and how you go about working with the plan, the various national plans that the government has in place.
Normally what we do here, I'm the Director General, it means that I head the Department of Planning and Research. We've got a team within this one, we've got another team with a coordinator who is actually in charge of policy evaluation and research, and a second team with that we call the EDPS facilitator or EDPS monitoring and evaluation. What we do here is we are like in charge of the Vision 2020, making sure that the aspirations of Rwandans in Vision 2020 are.
This is part two of the interview with Mr. Rugobiza. I saw you were just explaining the role of your office here.
The role of the department here. We normally are in charge of the Vision 2020, which means make sure that the objectives and the goals of the Vision 2020 are achieved. And we do that by developing strategies. We are not really the only one to develop the strategies because there are different sectors like health, education, infrastructure, agriculture. But at the very least, we make sure that these strategies are in line with the Vision 2020, the aspirations that we've got. And all the strategies, normally what we do is, Vision 2020 is a long-term, long-term aspirations, and we take it into medium-term plans. And one of these medium-term plans, when we started, is what we call the PRSP, which is the Poverty Reduction Strategy Paper. That was done, finalized in 2002. And now we are at the second generation PRSP that we call the EDPRS. The reason why we named it the EDPRS, which is Economic Development and Poverty Reduction Strategy, is we wanted to emphasize economic development and growth in particular. You know, because the first PRSP was more focused on social results, and we found that this time we wanted to focus on also still do the social, but focus on the economic progress, because we think that is the way out of poverty. So that's what this department does. What we do is do the consultations, like if we are going to revise our Vision 2020, do a midterm review this year after 10 years, this department is supposed to start the consultations to review the Vision 2020. And this department does consolidate the DPRS, all the strategies to bring it into the DPRS. So the other thing is we are, of course, in charge of national development planning. It means that we develop ourselves into a center of excellence to support all the planning departments in different sectors, in different ministries, but not only in ministries. We also work with the Ministry of Local Administration to strengthen the planning at the decentralized level.
Okay.
So it means that we are in charge of giving training on planning, on monitoring and evaluation, to make sure that we are in charge of giving the guidelines, issuing guidelines for planning, for reporting.
Okay.
And specifically for the decentralized entities, we always work with the Ministry of Local Government to make sure that it's adapted to the needs of the different decentralized entities.
Okay. I'm particularly interested in that role or that part of your job, because one of the things that I've been looking at with regards to Imihigo is how the mayors in the districts are meant to come up with plans that both reflect local needs and fit into national strategies, and in particular the EDPRS, as you've mentioned. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your office's role in strengthening their capacity to come up with plans that fit both these criteria.
One of the things we do is mainly, in 2007, most of them were developed in 2007, the district development plans. Were developed most of them in 2007 up to 2012, at the same time as we are developing actually the EDPRS. What we did is, at the time, we recruited local consultants to work with the districts, to support the districts into developing the district development plans. And we gave them guidelines, of course, but at the end of the day, all the district development plans, we are also revising them, we are putting in place a team, making sure that the district development plans are revised and are of a certain quality, at least for the monitoring and evaluation framework, but also taking into account the national priorities.
I see. Okay. And just in terms of the monitoring and evaluation part of that, how have you gone about trying to build in metrics and measures that you can use to see how progress is being achieved and how the districts in particular are doing?
Yes, what we do is the district normally reports against the DPRS implementation on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
And they report to the Ministry of Finance with a copy to the Ministry of Local Administration. So they do exactly the same as the sector ministries. The line ministries also report quarterly to us. So we, the district do the same. They do quarterly report to make sure that the EDPRS is being implemented. One of the reasons, actually, if I can link it to the Imihigo process,
yes,
it is one of the reasons that came. The Imihigo started in 2006 when the President of the Republic actually challenged not only the districts but also the line ministries. But at first it was a challenge to the decentralized entities more than to the central government. And this challenge of the President of the Republic came at a time when he was getting the impression that priorities in the DPRS or in the PSP, the national development priorities, were not delivered as fast as they should have been.
At the decentralized level?
Yes. So that's how we came up with this. The second thing is the issue of ownership. The issue of ownership of the district development plans that we wanted to address. So the district development plans had been developed with the support of consultants, but at the end of the day, in the implementation phases, you had the impression that the district were not totally delivering against what the priorities that were in the district development plans. So a way of having them deliver on it was actually to streamline the numbers, to reduce the number of priorities and tell them what you are going to be reporting against and evaluated against is a set of priorities that you determine yourself.
Okay. Okay.
So what we are doing here, what we normally do is the first step, and that's the guidelines that we are doing. We make sure that the national priorities are clear at the central level. Central ministries, they go through their sector strategies and through in the DPRS, let's say these are the national priorities, like let's say for agriculture or for health or for education, and this is the amount of transfer. So they have got the national priorities, but they also identify what is to be implemented at the decentralized level.
Okay.
Some of these national priorities can't be implemented, you know, by the ministry or by a central agency. They have to be implemented by the district level, the decentralized level. So these are, they need to identify those national priorities that have to be implemented at the decentralized level, and then the resources that go with them, which means the transfers. We've got in our budget, in our national budget, what we call earmarked transfers. So the Ministry of Health will defend the budget for, let's say, salary of staff in district hospitals. And this would go under a line of earmarked transfers. The Ministry of Education would come with the program of 9-year basic education to be implemented at the district level, and they would put it under the line earmarked transfers for 9-year basic education to different districts. So that would be sent to the district, put in the budget of the district, and has to be implemented by them. The other thing is, if in case the national priorities to be implemented by the district are not subject to earmark transfers, they still need at the central level to identify where the resources will be coming from. If they are not coming from the budget as earmark transfers, you have to say where they are going to come from, so that the district at least know that these are the priorities we are asked to implement, and these are the resources going with them.
Sorry, who needs to identify where the resources are going to come from?
The central government.
The central government?
Yeah. Okay. So the different ministries, sectoral ministries in the central government.
Okay.
Because you are actually decentralizing responsibility to the district for implementation. So you also need to tell them these are the resources that we are giving you.
This is part three of the interview.
So what I was saying is, the central government, it can be the Ministry of Agriculture or the Ministry of Education. If they've got a priority for, let's say, the 9-year basic education in education, they want it to be implemented at the decentralized level, at the district level. So these are responsibilities like building classrooms or building schools. That is to be done by the district. It means that they have to put at the disposal of the district a certain amount of resources going with this responsibility of building schools.
Okay.
So, and it goes in the budget as earmarked transfers, Ministry of Education. So you would see in the budget line also like earmarked transfers, Ministry of Health. So that's earmarked transfers from the Ministry of Health to the districts. And during the budget consultations, of course, it's the sector ministry coming to defend that budget during the budget consultation with the Ministry of Finance.
But so from that, then I would take that the district players, I'm sorry, the district plans have to be incredibly tightly aligned with the central government's budgeting process, because presumably you could have a mayor saying, well, you know, as part of my annual action plan, I want to build 100 classrooms, but there's just no funding available for 100 classrooms. Maybe there's funding available for 10. So is there some back and forth between the districts and the, you know, the Ministry of Education, for example, to say, you know, what are my what is the amount of money that I actually have available? Within what boundaries am I working? Is that how it works?
Yes, there is. Yeah. So that was the first step. Mm. Actually, the second step is when they meet.
Okay.
Central government, we've got a meeting of central government with local governments.
Yeah.
They all meet. What we do is we actually meet with all the mayors mm-hmm. and the executive secretaries. Most of the authorities in the district meet with the PSCs, the permanent secretaries of the ministries, and that's when each ministry comes and presents, these are the priorities, the priorities that we would like you to implement for us, and the resources that you are putting at your disposal. And they discuss those priorities. Because the district may say, you are giving us the financial resources, but we don't have the human resources to do that.
Right.
We don't have the capacity to do that. So it means that you have also to propose some technical assistance going with that.
Okay. Mm? Okay.
So that's when they discuss, during the meeting, they discuss all these things. And some of the priority can actually be taken out of the things that the districts have to implement.
Okay, I see. And
because,
at what point in the planning process is this? Is this before the creation of an annual action plan, or was this done before the creation of the DDP, the 2007 to 2012 DDP? Like, when do these meetings occur?
Actually, the meeting occurs every year. So it means the DDP has been done once for 5 years.
Yeah.
What we do is, in the annual action plans, mm-hmm. we kind of revise the DDP annually.
Okay, I see. So the DDP is not like a hard and fast
document. No, it's not hard. You need to revise it because there are things that you were supposed to do this year and you didn't do them, so you will have to do them the following year, or there are things that you've done this year because they came like a priority more earlier, and then you don't have to do it the following years.
I see. Okay, this is very
so helpful. Not only the DDPs are like this, but even the sector strategies are moving, you know, living documents.
Okay.
So even at the national level, what we do is we've just been in a round this year. We finalized it, we did it over March, mm-hmm. and we finalized it in April, make it official. But it's what we are doing, it was revising the targets and the policy actions for the next fiscal year that starts in July 10-11. So we do this before the budget is voted by Parliament. It means that by now, the meeting between central government and local government has already happened,
mm-hmm.
because the budget now is in Parliament. So what we did is we did our best to have the meeting latest April, because these priorities at the end of the day come into the budget. The decisions that are made there will influence the budget. If the budget was voted before, we would then get a problem getting some priorities on board or getting some of them out. So we need to have this before.
Okay. I see. Now, let me ask you a question specifically about Imihigo. Imihigo were characterized to me as a subset of activities contained within the annual action plan, and activities that were a particular priority. But the thing that I've been struggling with a little bit is surely that you want your district mayors and your decentralized entities to accomplish all of the things contained within the annual action plan.
No, we don't. We don't ask them to accomplish all the things that are in the action plan.
Okay.
Because some of the things that are actually in the action plan are small activities, like we need to pay the staff. We don't ask them
to
report on that. So we need to recruit a statistician. We don't ask them to report on that.
Okay, I see.
So the action plan has got all the details. We only go with, we tell them, still in the action plan, in all the things you are doing, the priorities should be in there.
Okay.
So, you know, that's why we go with all these steps. So what we do is, the first step is identify the national priorities that have to be implemented at the district level. The second step is discuss those priorities with between central government and local government. The third step is the district go back to their district development plan. So they go back to the district development plan where they are there are the priorities, the local priorities. So these are the different steps of the IMIGO, actually designing the IMIGO. They also take in priority from, as I was saying, the DDPs, the district development plans. And then the fourth step is having it approved. So what we do is, you told me that you met with the team that is in the field on that. Normally that team is the team that we call the quality assurance team. The quality assurance team is made of people from the Ministry of Local Government, the Ministry of Finance, experts, planning experts from here, the Ministry of Finance, and the Prime Minister Office, I guess the National Decentralization also, Secretariat. So what they do is, we call them quality assurance team because they try to make sure that the IMIGO, what is in the IMIGO, is of good quality. That the indicators, it's feasible. So the questions that they ask to the district is, have you identified the resources for that? Do you think that it is feasible? What is the impact? You can't take a priority, something as a priority to put in the IMIGO only because it is easy to implement. It actually has to be a priority, either for the district or a priority because it helps achieve the national objectives. So these kind of questions are asked, and after the quality assurance team has given the input to the IMIGO of the district and make sure that the templates and the guidelines are respected, it goes, like for the district, it goes back to the district council. The district council is what I would call like the parliament, small parliament for the district. It means that the mayor has to present to the district council, this is the IMIGO, and they have to adopt it, approve it, or even change some of the things in it. They have to contribute to it before it goes for signature.
I see.
Because when it comes from the district council, it is either, what happens is the mayor actually has automatically gets a performance contract. When they approve the IMIGO, that's the performance contract of the mayor vis-a-vis the district council. But the other thing that happens is they also sign them, they present them publicly to the president and to the prime minister, which means that the president also and the prime minister actually held them, start holding them accountable for those performance contracts.
But now it seems to me that to some degree the success of the district mayors is going to be dependent on the ministries, the line ministries, perhaps releasing the funds, they've said they would, supplying the technical assistance, they've said they would. And if a mayor is unable to achieve an IMIGO target because maybe a ministry didn't supply what they said they would, is there accountability for the ministry also, or does it all fall to the mayor?
What happens? For the budget, it's a little easier because it goes to parliament and they vote the budget the way it is. So it's not even the ministry releasing it to the district. From the Ministry of Finance, it's directly released to the district. So the only, where the sector ministry intervene is they have to defend that budget.
Okay.
To explain the purpose of the budget, why they want it to be implemented at the district level,
mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't go on the account of the ministry before going to the district. It goes straight through the
district. Just straight through?
Yeah.
From the
treasury account to the district.
Okay, so there's the ministry. The ministry is not even involved in releasing that money.
No,
releasing the money. Right. Yeah. Okay.
So that's what happens. Now, for the technical assistance, if it was a case of technical assistance that they have to give to the district, it depends on the way it is done. Because even in the Imigo, what is there is they've got the opportunity when they report to also show. What are the challenges and what was done to address the challenges.
Okay.
And one, that's why we are doing this annual meeting of central government and local government. These kind of things are also discussed.
Okay.
Because even the sequencing of the way you're implementing your activities, there are things that the district can't do before the land ministry has done something else. What happens is that we normally have also performance contracts. So the IMIGO didn't stop at the decentralized level.
Mm-hmm.
We also have our own performance contract.
Who? Between
the land ministries.
Between
the central government?
Between the land ministries and?
We send them with the Prime Minister.
Oh, okay.
It means that if the district didn't achieve because you didn't give the technical assistance, then at the end of the day, you are responsible for it also.
I see. Okay. I was wondering about that.
So we also have our own. So what we do is, we sometimes even sign memorandum of understanding between two agencies.
Yeah.
And I will deliver that if you deliver the other thing.
Okay. Are those sort of ad hoc, you know, as they arise, you'll sign these?
Yes,
it's not sort of any institutionalized
no.
that happens at
the
this point. It's just if there's a particular project you're working on.
Memorandum of understanding, they are ad hoc. What is not ad hoc, of course, it's the performance contract. The IMIGO has to be there for all public agencies, for all of us.
Okay.
So now where it goes further,
it's,
yes, please.
Okay, great. Because I just have maybe one or two more questions.
Let's go on.
Okay. This is part four of the interview.
Yeah. So the other thing we do is what has developed a little later, because the performance contract started at the level of the agency or the district. Now it has developed into individual performance contracts. It means that the ministry, represented by the Minister of Finance, would sign a performance contract with the Prime Minister.
Okay.
And the Prime Minister can hold him accountable every quarter. He has to report on what he said he would achieve. What happens is that we do the same. My department, represented by me, signed a performance contract with the Minister of Finance. Or the PS, represented by the PS.
Mm-hmm.
So it means these are four or five things that I'm definitely
Absolutely
going to achieve this
to
year
done.
That will improve the planning process in this country.
Okay.
So it means, and actually the performance contract that the minister signs with the Prime Minister is broken down into departments. So that's an iterative process because it's broken down into departments, but also the departments influence the performance contract that the minister will sign.
Okay. My understanding is that this has been implemented in some ministries and not fully in other ministries yet, that it's still sort of evolving. Is that correct?
It should be.
It should have been implemented in
all ministries.
Okay.
I haven't checked that not all ministries, but my understanding is that all ministries have that because it is now even a requirement of the public service.
Okay.
It's not anymore, optional.
Okay.
It's not optional anymore. So when I came here, I was forced actually came here in the middle
yeah.
of the fiscal year,
yeah.
but still assigned to perform a contract
for
the remaining 6 months.
Sure. Okay. Okay.
And now we are starting the evaluation for the fiscal year that passed.
I see. Okay. Let me just ask you a couple of questions about the decentralized entities. It's my understanding that between 2007 and 2009, about 75% of the district mayors were removed
yeah.
For not achieving their targets.
Yeah.
And it seems like these positions are now extremely high stress and there's a lot expected of them. And I was wondering if you had any reflections on that. I mean, the fact that there has been a pretty significant turnover of leaders in the districts.
Yeah, I would say there is that it is stressful. I understand.
Yeah.
There even has been a story at a certain point in time when people were saying, you know, we've got when you're a mayor, you've got a contract of 1 day renewable. So it means that every day you can leave.
Okay.
Every 24 hours you can be removed. So yes, the stress is there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, I think it's also the mindset. Of or the spirit that is around.
Mm.
It's at a certain point in time, people had the impression that at the decentralized level, things were not moving.
Mm-hmm.
Things were not moving, and it is true that we couldn't see things happening. So what you want is people who can have things happen. And now I get the impression that you are getting more of that.
Mm-hmm. So from your perspective, the Imihigo system and the real focus on monitoring and evaluation has actually led to better results?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, not even a question.
No,
there's
I'm
more
not even asking the question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure of all
okay.
that. It has led to better results. And the other thing is, the way I'm seeing it now, it's even going to give us... even better result than before.
Better results
than before, because you know, I think now the guidelines that we've issued this year are a lot more clear than they were before. And that's the thing is with this process, it started
mm-hmm.
at a certain point in time. We were all learning, so we had an idea of the concept, what it was. But you need to meet the challenges before you can improve your methodology. And from what I've seen this year, as I really think that it's going to be better. The guidelines are a lot more clear,
mm-hmm.
and
sorry, these
even
are
the quality assurance team,
yeah.
the composition of it this year, it's a lot more serious than it used to be. You know, having the Minister of Finance, the planning department.
Yeah.
Strongly represented. You actually have sent two of my experts for 2 months there. So this year they even requested not to have only experts. So we sent an expert, but we also sent a coordinator. A coordinator for me is the director.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the position directly following mine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm?
Okay.
And at the level of the Prime Minister office and even the Minister of Local Administration, they are sending out director generals to make sure that you know the team is also a high-profile team, and we get better quality work.
I see. Sorry, just one quick question: when you say the guidelines that have been issued this year, is that the planning guidelines for district mayors that you're referring to?
Reporting and planning guidelines for Imihigo.
For Imihigo, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Especially for Imihigo.
Okay. Okay.
So now the process is totally documented. We are
mm-hmm.
like, well, better documented at least.
Okay.
Showing the 4 steps, what should be done, showing the template.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that the Imihigo concept notes and planning document?
Yeah.
Okay, I've seen that one. It is very clear.
Yeah.
Very clear.
I think this one is a lot more clear than it used to be.
Okay.
And especially, at least now it's written.
Right.
It is written.
Yes.
Mm?
But a couple of people have said to me that yes, it wasn't written before because it was still being ironed out. It was a system that was being developed.
That's what I'm saying. You know, we are all learning.
Yeah.
So it's now, it's like we've said, okay, after 3-4 years, we know a little better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we can write it down. We know the way it should be. It's clear in our heads, at least, what should come out of it, what we want out of it. And I would say that in itself is an achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what we did is we trained the members of the quality assurance team before they went on field, which means that they all have a good understanding of the exercise and what we want out of it. So they go in the different districts and they can talk as if they were the Director General of Planning in the Ministry of Finance or the Director General in the Ministry of Local Administration.
Okay. Sorry, so did Minicofin train the team or did the individual sector ministries who were sending individuals
what
train
the team?
What we
did is the quality assurance team was trained by Minicofin and Ministry of Local Administration.
Okay. So, but including all the Prime Minister's office representatives, they all came together
all
to conduct
people,
a training.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask perhaps one more question?
Yes, please.
I mean, you're sending out very, you know, high profile, high level experts from your office for, as you mentioned, 2 months. Minalot's doing the same, Prime Minister's office doing the same. How does it affect your work to have, you know, some of your top guys out in the field for extended periods of time? Does it create additional burdens here?
It creates a serious burden here. In a sense, because that's not the only thing we are doing, and that's the problem. We have to progress on all other things at the same time. So we feel it. But what you are saying is, if it is well done this year, they explain it properly to the district mayors, and the process goes really well this year, for us, that's not only, you know, sending out a concept note is not enough. We've got the people actually to make sure that you understand. They explain to the district mayors, even to the council. You know, the council at the district level, they explain to them what should come out of the IMIEGO.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time, but you've got good quality performance contract for the next fiscal year.
Yeah.
You get better delivery. So actually, in a sense, these are 2 months where you've worked for the entire year, for the next 12 months.
Okay.
And the other thing is, we may not need to do it more than, you know, we may do it again next year, but then that's it. Next year we can send just experts, not necessarily the coordinators.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it means it actually reduces, the burden reduces over time.
Okay.
When people understand it better and they master it better, that's the way I see it. Especially if the planning start to work properly at the district level, they can do the performance contract themselves, then the quality assurance team doesn't have to go all over the country. They can just receive the performance contract, read them, and say, this is good, this is good, this is not good enough. Send comments, and the district corrects. So they don't have to go on the field again
in
the next years. So this is more, for me, this year is more like the first year.
Okay.
Where we have clear guidelines, so we need to put in this investment in terms of people.
Okay. Now that makes a lot of sense. I was wondering about that because it did seem like a big burden on the central, central units.
Yeah.
Can I just to get a clarification, so the quality assurance team is both assisting in the preparation of IMIEGO and then is doing the monitoring and evaluation at the end of the year. Is that correct?
No,
I've got this wrong.
What they do is they make sure that you have got good quality IMIEGO when they plan for the planning of the IMIEGO.
Okay.
So they are supporting them. But the evaluation is not done by them. What happens is, actually, it is done like at the district level. They are accountable to they're accountable to the council of the district.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and the mayors are accountable to the prime minister or to the president. So not only to the council, but also to the president. The only thing we make sure is that when they report at the end of the year, like this year, they are actually doing the report also for the fiscal year 9-10.
Mm-hmm.
So what you want to make sure is the quality of the report. Have you got the data? No? So we don't want people telling us the activities.
Yeah. Okay.
Have you got results? Are they measurable?
Mm-hmm.
You see, so that's the way it goes.
Okay. But then the team that I went around with, that's not a quality assurance team.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is the quality assurance
team. Yeah, it is the quality assurance team. They are calling themselves the MNE.
Yeah.
The monitoring and evaluation team.
Okay. Okay, so that's...
No, I'm asking you actually if they are calling themselves the monitoring and evaluation team or the quality assurance team.
I think they definitely weren't calling themselves the quality assurance team.
Okay.
But you consider them to be the quality assurance team?
Yeah.
Okay, so
they... actually what they do is... In the same exercise,
yeah.
By 2nd of July,
mm-hmm.
they will be ready to present. It means that the district will come and present the reports for 9-10 and
mm-hmm.
the plan for 10-11. And it is the same team ensuring that the report you are presenting
mm-hmm.
is of good quality. At the same time, the plan you are doing is also of the quality required. But at the end of the day, they will not sign the performance contract with that team. So when you sign a performance contract, you sign it
with the
council,
okay.
or your direct boss.
Okay. Okay. I think I've got it.
But since we are not sure that at the council they would make sure that the plans or the performance contract presented to them
mm-hmm.
are of good enough quality,
okay.
we say let's make sure that the quality is there, and then you can go and sign.
Okay.
Because some of the things that they will put in the performance contract may actually necessitate that they do a study. Or that they do a survey to measure the indicator going with that specific objective.
Okay.
So you can give advice. What they do is give advice like, okay, you don't have a baseline.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a baseline, you have to distribute, let's say, surveys to people living with AIDS. And you don't have a baseline. How many of them
mm-hmm.
are there? You know, you say 50%. Normally, you could take 50% of them are receiving, or the people eligible to the treatment are receiving the ARVs, and you say by the end of the year there would be 60%.
Okay.
But if you don't have the baseline of 50%,
then
you can't go to the 60%.
Okay.
But the advice the quality assurance team could give you is, yeah, you don't have the baseline. But what you could say is you will give to 10,000 more. So the new people joining, enrolled
mm-hmm.
on the ART program
mm-hmm.
will be 10,000.
Okay.
So at the same time, you are building your baseline
okay,
over the year 10-11, but you are also implementing already your priority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The 10,000 more may, instead of being 10%, so you come from 50 to 60, they actually may represent only 5%. Or they may represent 20%. You don't know that. But at least you've got a goal to achieve without a baseline. So these are the kind of things they need to give them support for.
Okay.
And help them think in terms of really smart indicators, smart objectives.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, that's great. Well, I think that's half an hour, and I don't want to make you keep the PS waiting. So,
If you are done, that would be okay.
I think I have. There were a couple of things that I really needed more information on, and you've supplied it. So I think I'm done. But are there any other aspects that or important aspects of Imihigo, of the Imihigo process, that I should have asked you about that perhaps I haven't? So any other reflections that you wanted to add on it?
No, I don't see particularly any other aspects that maybe we haven't covered.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's great. Well, thank you very much for meeting with me. I do
especially if
it.
You got the concept. Not, I think this year
yeah.
is quite good. So
yeah,
if you've got more questions, you can still email me or.
Okay.
Or
great. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Most welcome.